Church, it is so good to be with you today. I have like a 30-minute message prepared, but God had other plans today. I will not be taking 30 minutes. Some of you just looked at the time. You're like, oh my goodness, we're going to be here forever. But isn't it awesome when God just takes over? And that's like, there's just something in worship today that I just sense the Holy Spirit said, you can't move from this place. And just so if you're new with us or if you're still kind of getting used to my own leadership, we will always make room here for God to move and do his thing. We do try to walk in as prepared as we possibly can be every single Sunday, but our worship team, our staff, all of our volunteers on Sunday morning, we declare each week, God, whatever you want to do, right? Here's what it is that we have planned, but God, whatever you want to do, that's where we want to move. That's where we want to go. And so we make no apologies this morning for my sporadic running around in these notes, but it was just an incredible, incredible moment. I am so excited for what God is doing in this place, for what God is doing in each and every space that some of us never even enter into. Just reports these last few weeks of the testimonies coming out of Youth Retreat Church. God is moving in this next generation. One of the things that they were testifying of is in just a couple of weeks, if you're a part of the youth ministry, you'll see that we're going to be doing a joint Unite event actually hosted this year in the Orleans campus. And one of the biggest concerns is the Orleans campus even big enough to handle all of the youth and junior highs from across the city who are going to come? Come on. Come on, like we celebrate what God is doing here. We celebrate what God is doing in Orleans and in Cornwall as a part of Life Center. But I also want to celebrate that same outflow and outpouring that we're seeing in Life Center, we're seeing across churches all over the city. God is on the move, and we need to celebrate not just what he's doing in our church, but in the Big C Church, God is moving, and I just love it. I love to watch high schoolers and junior highs proclaim the name of Jesus to each other and to stand in those spaces. Now, last week, we were in the book of Kings. We're going to continue on in season 5 of Heartstrong. In the book of 1 Kings, we're actually going to be reading from chapter 3. If you have your Bibles today, our first verse will come from chapter 3, verse 9, if you want to turn there. But we talked about one of David's sons, Adonijah. Right? Come on. Come on. Come on. You don't know how many people I said to you last week. I'm like, my biggest mistake was reading it off the sheet. I was like, I had it. I dropped it. I was on all these words. And the minute I looked at the sheet, I was like, I don't got it. Adonijah and his desire to become king, more from ambition than anointing. And we just contrasted the two of how God is going to move you into your season of anointing. That there is an understanding that we need to have in our hearts that God has placed us here for such a time as this for specific purposes. Outside of this room, but also inside the church. Amen? Church, we are anointed to be together. It's not even in my notes, but it's so good, right? Listen, we are anointed to be together. God has called us to collectively, here in the great capital of this nation, God has called us collectively into this space. The moment that we decide Life Center Canada is home, what we are declaring is, God, I want to know where I need to fit in the body of Christ here. Hello? Come on. The moment that we declare, God, this is my home, these people are my family, this is not just where I choose to go on Sunday morning, but this is where I choose to plant my feet. Where it is that Life Center Canada is going and the drive of what it is. Lord, I want to be a part of that, but not just a part, God. Show me where my anointing is for my role. And one of the things that you'll find as you become more understanding, as you become more knowledgeable, which is a good word, I'm going to use that a lot, don't know why I didn't go there, as you become more knowledgeable about the Word of God, is that each and every one of us have gifts. Each and every one of us, the Holy Spirit wants to use us for specific purposes. And this morning, we're going to talk about King Solomon, the one who was anointed to be king. And his desire to rule from wisdom. Now, wisdom is something, especially in today's day and age, that we as the church should be hungry for, because being wise in a day and age where people go on social media and say all sorts of things, right? Pull a little Pastor Jason there, right? A little, come on. This is a just a prime space for the church to actually stand apart. Come on. If people are following you on social media, may they ask the question, why are you so infrequent in your posting? And may you be able to respond, because I choose to be wise. It's not that I don't have thoughts. It's that I type those thoughts and then delete those thoughts, and I only post after going to someone else, either my wife or a mentor or someone, and say, is this something worth reading? Like, this is a space where Christians can actually be set apart in today's day and age. To teach our young people that just because you have an idea doesn't mean that you need to throw that out there. Maybe sit with it for a second. Maybe pray on it. Don't respond through these emotions and feelings that rise up. Although we all have them, the thing that sets us apart is that we don't want our words to go forward. Come on, church. We want the Lord's words to go forward. Another place where you can act in wisdom is as young people grow older, stop challenging them to foot races. If you've never experienced losing a foot race to someone who used to smoke all the time, you know what I'm talking about here. If you were at our family skate on Monday, you will have watched me lose an ice skating race to both of my sons. And I remember in the moment as they were flying and I was trying desperately to catch up, I said to myself, why did I ask them to race? Pride, desire to win that race. And as I had never seen them skate so hard in their entire lives, as they rounded that final corner, you could see the smile on their face. And they said, Dad, we're finally faster than you. Church, it is not wise to challenge young people as they continue to grow and their muscles grow. You will not always beat them in a foot race, just for free, all right? Be wise on social media. Stop racing the young people. These are things that God will show us in wisdom. But there are so many other places where we can apply wisdom. In our friendships, in our marriages, in our workplace. As you continue on past this morning and your heart-strong readings of 1 Kings, you'll see that Solomon truly begins in a wise and incredible place. One of the gifts that we can receive from the Holy Spirit is gifts of words or wisdom, and these are often actually to be shared in those one-on-one moments. In the book Convergence, if you haven't picked it up yet, John Thompson, who was our speaker at Strong Conference, in his book Convergence, he writes this: words of wisdom and knowledge are God giving someone a situational or direct word about an issue that needs to be dealt with. Or it can be a word of encouragement or situational insight into how to walk in God's way and will for that moment. The Bible is full of encouragement for us to seek wisdom and to seek knowledge. In 1 Kings chapter 3, God approaches Solomon and he kind of gives him this really incredible moment where he says, Solomon, what is it that you want from me? We get an image from God that whatever it was that Solomon wanted, God was ready to bless him as such. He could have asked for a superpower. But how does he respond? He responds to God. He says, Lord, give me your wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. As we dive deeper into our understanding of Scripture, and as we dive deeper into Heartstrong Church, we're going to eventually come in season 6 or season 7 into the book of Proverbs. And this book is really an encouragement for us and to how it is that we are to walk. And over and over and over again, you will hear the authors of Proverbs encourage us to hunger for wisdom, that we would be wise as God is wise, that we would lean not on our own understanding. Solomon asks for wisdom, and God bestows him a wisdom beyond anything that I had seen in the previous. And we see this really play out just a couple of verses later. 1 Kings chapter 3, 16 to 22, Solomon is introduced to this moment where he can respond in his own mind, he can respond how others would respond, or he can respond with insight given to him only by the Lord. Then two prostitutes, verse 16, came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else with us in the house, only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, and laid him at her breast, and laid her dead son at my breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born. But the other woman said, 'No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours.' The first said, 'No, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine.' And thus they spoke before the king." Solomon is invited into this space where there is no greater authority in the room than he. There are no other witnesses. It's just simply these two women giving both an equal, a challenging and heartbreaking account of what it is that took place. And Solomon is encouraged not only to listen, but he is challenged to act. Now, much like we do in social media, it would have been easy for Solomon to immediately respond out of outrage, maybe to listen to the cries and the plight and to respond from physical signs or emotional signs that were being brought forth from the two women, to simply choose and move on to the next complaint that was being brought. Do not confuse ourselves this morning. As Solomon is acting as king, there would have been a lineup of individuals and situations for him to deal with. It would have been easy for Solomon to say, "Listen, these are simply two servants in my kingdom. What if there were other kings or queens who we'll see later on in the book of 1 Kings that approach Solomon on the regular? What if there were more important people waiting?" And Solomon had simply said, "Let me deal with this quickly to get on to the next." But instead, Solomon does what he often writes about in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 23 says this: "Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, wisdom, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks, 'How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you.'" Solomon has the opportunity to respond quickly and to distribute justice how he chooses. But if he chooses poorly in this instance, the reputation that will go out from the families, the reputation that will go out from the people, will not raise him up as a king who is wise. Church, it's important for us to take our time in our decisions. Amen? To not decide on things hastily, especially when those moments are something where there's a true weight of spiritual influence, there's a true opportunity for the word of the Lord to move forward. May we not simply, in our desire to dispute and to challenge people outside of the faith, may we not enter into those spaces in anger, trying to prove our own point, but instead, may we walk into every one of these moments that God has ordained and say, "Lord, let it not be me, but let it be you." Solomon does three things here. There's three kind of layers to what it is that Solomon will use in his wisdom. That first layer is the opportunity for the women to speak. Solomon actually listens to what it is that the women are saying. The second thing that we'll see very shortly here in our verse is that Solomon actually re-illustrates the circumstance. He understands and takes in what it is that's playing out here, the situation that has been brought before him. And that third layer is that he hears the situational word of wisdom above all else. Listen to how King Solomon responds. In 1 Kings chapter 3, 23 to 28. "Then the king said, 'This one says, that is my son that is alive and your son is dead. And the other says, no, but your son is dead and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Okay then, bring me a sword.' Whoa. So a sword was brought before the king, and the king said, here's what we're going to do. Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. But then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means put the child to death. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. And King Solomon responded and answered and said, give the living child to the first woman. By no means put that child to death. She is the mother. And all of Israel heard the judgment that the king had rendered. And they stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Church, Israel heard of what it was that King Solomon had done. As you continue to read through 1 Kings, what you'll realize is it's not just Solomon's people who heard, but the surrounding nations begin to hear how Solomon is distributing wisdom, and kings and envoys and emissaries and all of these surrounding people begin to approach Solomon as he describes things, as he answers questions. You'll read in the Word of God that as Solomon begins to respond in wisdom, it is not the awe of the person that people begin to give praise to. But as Solomon begins to work out in wisdom the situations and circumstances that are brought before him, over and over and over again in Scripture, you'll read, and people declared, great is the Lord your God. Back in season one of Heartstrong, we read the words as Jesus was standing before the disciples, and the disciples were telling Jesus of what everyone else was referring to him as. He said, Jesus, some think that you're just another John the Baptist or Elijah come again, or they'll say that you're this person or that person. And Jesus turned to the disciples and said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, you are the I am. You are the Messiah. You are the one who was promised. And what does Jesus say? Jesus turns to Peter and he says, Pete, finally, look at you. You're learning. You got some smarts. You've been listening. Woo! Must have been reading your Old Testament last night. No, Jesus turns to Peter and says, Peter, the Lord has given you this insight. And on this rock, I will build my church. Church, there is so much to be said for when it comes to wisdom, when we respond to ways that actually take ourselves out of it, that eliminate what it is that we could get from the decisions that are being made, or what it is that we could benefit, and simply respond with where it is that we truly believe that God would have us go. People will stand in awe of the decisions that you are making. Because God is able to speak to us today, amen? God is able to deliver to us the way in which we should stand. We talked last week about the discernment and actually practicing some of this wisdom, actually practicing some of this gifting of knowledge of trying to determine which doors to walk through, determining which is ambition and where I want to go and which is actually the anointing and where God would have me stand. The same thing is happening in the life of Solomon. Solomon is being presented with all of these different kingly decisions that need to be made, and it is the wisdom of the Lord that sets him apart. May that be true for us today. Young people, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't just run after the greatest salary that you can possibly get. Some of you will be called to be doctors and lawyers, and some of you will be called into different places because that's where God needs you today. Beloved, when it comes to the songs that we sing, when it comes to revival that we're praying for, let us not be those who look back always and say, God, what you did before, let that happen again. But let us actually pray and believe and worship with a renewed understanding and renewed wisdom and say, God, what it is that you did before, do something fresh for this generation, just like you did for me 40 years ago. Come on. There's a new wisdom and understanding that God can give you to where it actually takes you out of it and allows him to move forward. God, in this moment, don't let me be right, but God, let your name be made clear. There's a difference. Church, there is a call for us to work in wisdom and understanding, especially in this day and age where decisions seem to be made on a whim. May we be a people who take time, who gather together, who pray amongst one another, who discern together in the way in which we should go. I've said this before, but I love that we are not a church that stands on our own, that every decision that we make as a congregation is made in conjunction with all of the people that all of our women are about to go and praise and worship in congregation with. How beautiful is it that we in Kanata are celebrating with Life Center Orleans and Life Center Cornwall? That we are, yes, we are hungry to see God move here in Kanata, but we are more determined that God's name would be great, made great all across this city and beyond. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, with this I'll close. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Hallelujah. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who appoints to each one individually as he wills. Church, may we be a congregation that hungers to see the Spirit move. May we hunger and thirst for wisdom in all things. Let's pray. So Lord, as we've done today, we declare that you are holy. We declare, Lord Jesus, that you are worthy of all praise. Lord, for those here this morning that have big decisions to be made, Lord God, for those here this morning that are trying to sort through what it is that that next step would have, Lord, may we do it together. Lord, I pray that you would draw us into deep relationship, especially for those who would declare that Life Center is home, Lord. May we come out to discipleship night and things like Rooted. May we come to the front and pray and discern together, God, where is it that you would have us move? May we take steps that are full of wisdom, God, that are birthed through the knowledge of what it is that you have for us. Lord, you are the head and we are the body. As the body, may we be empowered by the gifts of your Spirit to some wisdom, to some knowledge, to some healing, to some prophecy. God, your word speaks continually that we need each other. And so, Lord, in this day and age, may we celebrate together, may we grieve together, but God, may we prayerfully discern together where it is that we should go. Lord, give us wisdom, fill us with your knowledge, not just so that we can be oh so smart, but Lord, we want people to hear that there's something different taking place, that these are not regular decisions, these are not regular responses to the circumstances that are coming our way. There is something different in the midst of this place, and his name is Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.